Today I'm beginning a new series of sermons on the Gospel Hour. I'll be speaking, I do not know just how long, because I do not have any set time or any outline as to the length of these messages, but I'll be speaking these coming days on the grace of God. This series may last weeks, it could last months. I do believe that one of the greatest needs of this hour among church people, and please notice I said church people, I believe one of the greatest needs is for God's preachers to preach more on the grace of God and enlighten people as far as it's humanly possible to understand the grace of God. Now, I confess that it is beyond man's ability to comprehend the exceeding riches of God's grace. No, I'll never fully understand the grace of God. I cannot understand why God so loved poor, miserable, wretched sinners like we are, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. But he did. And we are saved by God's grace, and only by grace can anyone be saved. So if grace is the only way, then I say we need to know all that we can know about the grace of God. Someone has said, I don't know who said it, I read it somewhere, one of the old-time preachers said, religion has done a good job at confusing people. And that's true. Religion has certainly confused people. But God is not the author of confusion. Jesus brought grace and truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, lead us, guide us, direct us as we study today and the days that come, as we study the grace of God, lead us by the Holy Spirit and direct us in Jesus' name. Save thousands, our Father. Save thousands, O God, as we study the Word of God, the grace of God, and salvation by God's grace. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, honor, and glory. Amen. Now, today, I'd like to ask and answer a question that needs to be answered. Jesus had an interview with a rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. And as he finished this interview, and the young man went away with a broken heart because he had a lot of money, he was very rich, Jesus looked round about him and he said to his disciples, how heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished beyond measure. They were absolutely, as we would say, they were floored. They could not understand the language of Jesus. Now, in Mark 10:26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Now, I want to show you something here that we need to see. They said among themselves, they were discussing this among themselves and saying among themselves, who then can save? Now, if you want to know who can be a recipient of God's grace, and if you want to know who is included in the invitation to receive the grace of God and be saved, as we begin this series on the grace of God, I feel that we should get the Bible answer to the question that the disciples discussed among themselves, when if they had asked Jesus, he would have certainly informed them who can become a recipient of God's grace or who can be saved. Now, I made the statement before I prayed that religion has done a good job, an excellent job, at confusing people. And I think you'll agree with me. Now, listen, beloved. The Bible teaches, and if we're not going to believe the Word of God, if you're listening to me for the first time today, if you're not going to believe the Word of God, then you're wasting your time. Because I can assure you in the outset of this series on the grace of God that I'm not going to preach it the Baptist way, or the Methodist way, or the Pentecostal way, or the Catholic way, or the Lutheran way, or the Jehovah's Witness way, or the Episcopalian way, or any other way. I'm going to preach it the Bible way. Now listen, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not smart. I'm just a poor sinner saved by God's grace. But I have a very, very efficient teacher, and I have a faultless textbook. So we're going to use the Word of God, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to enlighten us and speak to us and speak through us. And if you're willing to listen to simple Bible facts, then I invite you to join me daily, and we'll study the grace of God, and we'll find out all that we possibly can. We'll search the Scriptures, and we'll see what we can learn from the Word of God, and only the Word of God, about the grace of God. Now, what do I mean? Religion has done a good job at confusing people, all right? The disciples said, who can be saved? Now, today, there are ministers who are pastoring large churches. When I say large churches, I mean the building is large and the membership is large. And these men go in the pulpit and they preach that only the elect, only the predestined, only the chosen are included in the grace of God. And listen, dearly beloved, now I know what I'm talking about, and a lot of you people know it. And some of you, of course, do not know. But a lot of you, thousands of you across America know that men go in the pulpits on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they state boldly and without reservation that Jesus did not die for the world. He died for the elect. Now let me say this to you. If I want the right answer to the question, who then can be saved? If I want the right answer to whom is the grace of God extended? If I want the right answer to the question, did Jesus die for the world or did he die for the elect? The only place that I can find the right answer is in the Word of God. Now, you cannot go to churches, you cannot go to ministers, you cannot go to evangelists and religious teachers in schools. You just can't get the right answer from them because men do not agree. Men just do not agree on the question, who can be saved? So, let us call, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world and the one who provided salvation. Let us call Jesus to the witness stand and let him testify, and let's see what Jesus has to say about it. I read in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I ask you, what does the Bible tell us about who can be saved and to whom is the grace of God extended and who is included in this plan of salvation? The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in this account, he's talking to Zacchaeus. Luke 19, Zacchaeus, a little man, a tax collector. He climbed a tree, and while the religious leaders passed by, and they were, of course, around Jesus. He climbed a tree to see Jesus, and Jesus had come down. He said, salvation has come to this house. And then he said, the Son of Man, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I say emphatically and without apology, without hesitation, without reservation, I do not tremble, I do not fear when I make the statement, if you're lost, Jesus came to save you. If you're lost, you are included in the invitation. If you are lost, the grace of God is for you. If you are lost, you are one of those who can be saved. Now hear me and listen to the Word of God. Pay no attention to religion, to man, to ministers, to evangelists. Listen to the Word of God. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right. Now then, in Luke chapter 13, we have another very interesting passage of Scripture that I'd like to read. In Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And why didn't he? Why didn't Jesus gather their children? Why didn't Jesus call them to himself as a hen calls her little chickens under her wings? Why did he not? The Bible says, and ye would not. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't let me. Jesus said, I wanted to save you. I came to save you. I came to seek and I came to save, but you wouldn't let me save you. He sat and he looked out over Jerusalem and he shed bitter tears. He wept and he said, I wanted to gather your children, and I would have, but you wouldn't let me. Now, listen to John 5:40, John 5:39. We read, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. For in them, that is, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. You can memorize the Bible and die in sin and burn in hell. You can memorize every word from Genesis to Revelation. But memorizing the Bible, getting the Bible in your mind, and learning the Bible from memory will never save you. Romans 10:10, with the heart, not the mind, not the memory, but with the heart. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now listen to the words of Jesus again, spoken to his own people. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now why did these people drop into hell? Why were they lost? Why are they now in the pits of hell begging for a drop of water to cool their tongue? Why? The Bible says, the words of Jesus tell us that the reason they are lost, eternally lost, they would not, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Remember, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the invitation is to come. And if you refuse to come, I say it very humbly before God. I say it knowing that I'll stand before God and give an account for this message. But if you refuse to come, then my friend, God's hands are tied. God invites, but if you will not come, God will never force or drive or drag you into the kingdom of God. Now remember that. The invitation is to whosoever will. Let him that is thirsty come. I'll read that verse in a moment. I'll give you the reference. Let him that is thirsty come, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. All right. Now then, in John 3:16, we read these words, for God so loved the white man. Oh, no, no, sirree, I beg your pardon. For God so loved the English speaking. Oh, no, 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 no. For God so loved the Chinese, the Japanese. No, no, for God so loved the world. Now, listen, beloved, listen to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the grace of God is for whosoever. It doesn't make any difference what churches, preachers, religionists, radio preachers, evangelists, Bible teachers, books, it doesn't make any difference what you have read or what man has said, what you've heard or what you believe. God loved the world. Jesus died for the world. Give me scripture for that, Mr. Green. I'll be glad to. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Now that's the epistle. The first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 2, clearly spells out what I've just been preaching. Jesus died for the sins of the whole wide world. And John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the fact that the world is not saved, and the fact that the world is not being saved, and the fact that is certainly evident before our eyes that not all men believe, that doesn't mean that the grace of God has failed. That means that man has failed. God has done everything that a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God could do to save men. And if men refuse the grace of God, then God's hands are tied, because God is love, and love does not compel. That is, as a dictator would force men to serve him. God does not force men to serve him. God gently leads as a shepherd leads the sheep. How many folks did God love? How many folks did Jesus die for? To whom is the arm of the Lord extended? For whom is the grace of God provided? I answer in the words of Jesus, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the white man, the black man, the red man, the yellow man, the rich man, the poor man, the millionaire, the pauper, the educated, the uneducated, the South American, the North American, the African, the Asian, the Japanese, the Russian, the German, the Frenchman, the Englishman, the Canadian. It doesn't make any difference. The Mexican, it doesn't make any difference. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Son of Man is come to seek, and he's come to save that which was lost. Now, if you're lost, if you are lost, God is seeking you through the gospel hour right now. God is calling you through this program. In this dispensation of grace, God has elected to call men and to anoint men to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And we are saved by God's grace. And God's grace becomes ours by faith. And faith to receive the grace of God becomes ours by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, the words of Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. That is, you are already passed from death unto life. How? By hearing the word of God. What does hearing the word of God do? Hearing the word brings faith. Faith exercised in Jesus brings grace. The law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. He was full of grace and full of truth. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thomas, I am truth. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, religion will confuse you. Here is one man, and he says, you can be saved if you are elected. Another man says, you can be saved regardless. Here's one preacher, he says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ brings salvation. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ brings salvation. Another minister says, believe and be immersed in water. Join my church and you'll be saved. Others say this, others say that. But the word of God testifies in words of truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that is you, dear friend. I don't care who you are. You. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, dear lady. I'm talking to you, dear man. I'm talking to you, my precious drunkard, doper, gambler, liar, thief, murderer. I'm talking to you, precious woman. If you've committed the scarlet sin, if you've gone down to the very gutter, I'm talking to you. He that heareth my word, she that heareth my word, man hearing my word, believing on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God is for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you by his grace, and you'll become a member of the family of God. You'll become a child of God through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Father, honor thy precious word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Honor thy word, the precious blood, the precious name of Jesus, and save every soul that's under conviction, every soul that's calling upon you now. Save them, our Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.